On today's episode, we're going to be talking about serving and helping others, what my grandfather has taught me, and the decision-making framework that you need in order to be successful in business.
Let's go!
This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability. Today, we have Gabe Arnold, the chief pencil sharpener of Copywriter Today. Copywriter Today takes the pain out of content creation. Their team of over 50 US-based writers can write any type of content you need, from blog posts and authority guides to full-length books. Gabe, the first ever chief pencil sharpener on the show. I'm glad it's you. I couldn't imagine it being anybody else.
I'm glad I could be here. Thanks so much, Jonathan.
Yeah, anytime, man, anytime. So before we get into all of the heavy-hitting questions of SaaS and growing business and writing, I have to ask and start the podcast off with an icebreaker. So imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. Where are you going to eat, and what are you going to order in order to make your day complete?
I would probably drive 30 seconds up the road to this little place called Square. They have the most amazing sushi I've ever eaten. And then I would drink a Lake Erie Monster IPA, because we have Great Lakes Brewing right here, and it's probably the best beer I've ever tasted in my life. So,
oh, wow, nice.
I could sit there and eat sushi for hours. They have to roll me out of there.
Sushi and beer. I don't think I've ever had that combination before, to be honest. It's usually wine because of fish and things like that.
Right. Or sake or whatever, but no, I'm kind of non-traditional, in case you didn't realize that already.
Good stuff. You mentioned the Lake Erie, so, and you're an IPA guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I have to check out Lake Erie.
It's Lake Erie Monster, but you can only buy it, for a short time this time of year, so you have to come up to Cleveland and get it.
Oh, nice. Very cool. Good stuff. Well, without further ado, Gabe, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Who are you, and what is your story?
Yeah, so I will be 35 in about a month, and I have been an entrepreneur since I was a young teenager, but I say officially since I was 16, when I built and sold my first website project for $3,000. And I said, hey, this online stuff is going to take off. I probably should pay attention to this. Before that, I built weird things and sold them to my landlord and my friends and things like that. So I feel like I've been a lifetime entrepreneur, maybe not so good at it early on, but definitely was my thing, because I'm unemployable and I'm not very good at following the rules. So that's probably where I landed in creating my own rules. So from 16 to 23, I built a huge construction business through online lead generation with the company. Back then it was called Service Magic. Today it's called Home Advisor. I used to buy 50 to 60 leads per day from them all over Northeast Ohio. And so with that, I built a multi-million dollar construction and remodeling company. Then the housing market crash came, my customers' credit lines dried up, and because of that, I got stuck for $250,000 and lost my company, because I was young and dumb and didn't know how to recover from that, and also kind of got some bad advice in the mix of it. But after that, I was this really sucks. What I really liked about the whole process was building my websites, doing all my online marketing, doing all that. So I shifted into doing digital and marketing. For a short time, I launched one of the early digital signage companies. If you ever go into a restaurant or into a elevator or the back of a cab, I rolled out a company in Northeast Ohio with a friend doing that. But we were too early in the game, I think, at that point in our area for that to work. So then I just kind of shifted into doing some tech help, did a couple turnarounds, had a quote unquote real job with Firestone Complete Auto Care for 9 months, and then did a turnaround at a big repossession company. And then from there, I met a guy that I moved to Chicago with and built a huge IT help desk support company and voice over IP phone company and web development company. Had some horrible stuff happen because that guy was completely unethical and not somebody I should have partnered with. So I learned a lot about partnerships. And then I moved back to Cleveland, Ohio, after being in Chicago 5 or 6 years, When I found out my son, who's my only child, was going to be born and move back here to be closer to my family. And from there, I've kind of stuck in web development and marketing. And then that's what led me to almost 4 years ago now to start Copywriter Today, which is our content creation service.
Very cool. So tell us a little bit more about your business. How does it help people, et cetera?
Yeah, so I've personally built over 1,000 websites for clients in the last 10 years. And I think my team and I probably is like 2,500 or something now. And so 10 years ago, when I started building sites, I love building in WordPress and like other custom stuff, we would build out somebody's site. It would take forever for them to send us like about us page copy or services page copy. And then we'd be like, you really should do a blog. Like that's really going to help your SEO. And that's the direction of going, like, yeah, we'll do it. So I could go back 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years later and look at this beautiful site that we finished, and nothing had changed. No blog posts, no updates, no anything. And the more that I dove into that, I realized that there's two scenarios that are the most common. I think people hate writing. They're no good at it, or they hate it, or they don't have time for it. So even if you're a good writer, you just don't have the time to do it. And so in realizing that, I was like, man, I think there's something that I can do here. So I first started out by just saying like, well, we'll charge you extra, $1,500 or whatever, write all your copy. Or I tried to like come up with some custom packages. But then one day I heard a podcast episode, on the Foundation podcast, with Andy and I forget the other guy, who's on the podcast, but they had Dan Norris on there talking about WP Curve. And I was like, man, that's a great idea. I'm like, I bet I could do that with content. So that night, like I glued together this site with like WooFoo forms and like, it's the ugliest site you would have ever seen. And then I'd reach out to my customers and I got on LinkedIn. I started saying, hey, I just launched this content creation service called Copywriter Today. Would this be useful to you? Would this solve your problems? I'd love to get your feedback on my idea. And from there, it grew from there. So that's kind of how I stumbled into realizing, hey, there's an opportunity here. And if I build it out on a subscription basis, then we can be more cost effective than, going to a quote unquote traditional copywriter that wants to charge you like $1,500 for a sales letter, or, it gets crazy. Not that those guys aren't worth it, but it's like, I think I can disrupt the market by doing it different than everybody else.
Yeah, very cool. Well, shout out to Dan, who has been on this podcast before.
That's awesome.
Great dude.
If
we could always talk offline, but he is an extremely intelligent guy. And I'm sure, have you read all of his books?
I have not. I've read part of them. I've read a lot of his blog posts. Like I read a lot of his stuff there. And like, I like his like 7-day startup concepts, and I just love how he approaches things.
Totally. Yeah. Once you get into his head, you can find some really good nuggets of information, especially, with business models that you have and that I have. So, you're talking about disrupting, you're talking about content. Mm-hmm. There is so much content out there in today's world. I'd like you to just speak to a little bit about the current ways of people creating content. And then what are some techniques that we could use for our content to better our business?
Yeah, that's a big question. There's so much content out there, and there's a ton of it that's just junk. But that's normal. I think just in any space across the board, you're going to just find stuff that's just not that good. And then there's really great content. And honestly, I own a writing company, I'm a bunch of writers, and like, but I always tell people, like, I don't know, I barely know how to spell, or like, have the worst grammar in the world. Because I didn't, for myself, I didn't learn to read and write till I was like 7 or 8, because I was like really, really academically challenged as a kid. But I started the writing company because it solved a problem. And so I figured out along the way, like when I first started the company, I wrote every single order that came in for like 90 days. And I had like 4 or 5 customers, and like I would stay up late and do this on top of my main business. And the reason that my business worked is because it solved a real problem and it gave people a solution. Like people knew they needed blog posts and they wanted something out there and they wanted to promote and they wanted to educate their audience. And so when you think about content, the first thing you have to think about is, are you actually solving a problem? are you actually helping people get from, you know, stuck, I'm Googling something, I'm going to your blog, I'm looking at this guide, to awesome, you solved my problem. That's the most important piece of content. Not, to be honest, not to be perfect in your spelling and grammar and writing, not to, you know, have complete perfection. And we have professionally trained editors, and, you know, we can do all that for you, and you can read your own content and self-edit and get it from 60% to 80% or 90%. And that's important. You don't want to like make your delivery so rough that people can't understand what you're trying to say, but set all that aside and focus on what problem are you actually solving? How are you actually helping somebody? So that's good content. Like, I will watch the crappiest YouTube video if it's like got weird music, or it's somebody that I can't really understand them, and they, you know, maybe their audio sucks. If they actually show me the three things that I'm trying to fix with some weird problem I have, that solved my problem, and that is good content. People think you have to have everything dressed up and perfect, and, you know, in order to put content out there, and that's not really what you want to do. So the best way to put great content out there is to go to your audience, to your customers, to your, you know, your target audience, and say, what do you guys need help with? Like, what are you stuck on? And they'll give you the answer of what you should be talking about. And then you can write about it. You can make a video about it. You can do a podcast episode about it. You can get the content out there however you want. And I'm not the most refined public speaker recording. Like, this isn't going to be as, you know, fancy as maybe Tony Robbins speaking. He's probably a better speaker than me, but I can still solve the problem because I'm clear about what the problem is. And so I think that's what people have to focus on first in content. And then put the pieces in place, the mechanics, hire us, hire a writer, write it yourself, whatever your path you get there is totally fine. But don't get hung up on trying to, you know, on perfection. Get hung up on, is this a real problem that I'm really solving for somebody? And then the rest of it should kind of fall into place.
Does that problem or answer to a problem, does that usually consist of 500 words? Do you see it working with 1,000 words? Is it 10,000 words? Like, where is that happy medium? Where should we be?
Yeah. So from a technical, like, writing and editing standpoint and a communications standpoint, I should be able to try to say as much as I possibly can with the least amount of words. So the more concise you are technically, I feel like your writing is going to be better. Like, I have a tagline on one of my homepages that I sent over to one of my editors a couple of days ago, because I'm like, I like what I'm saying, but it's way too wordy, like, because I just made it up myself. Mm-hmm. And so to answer your question, sometimes you should write a huge, huge post, like a 1,500, 3,000. I mean, I've written 10,000 word posts about things because I just don't feel like I can explain to you in 400 words how to do this. But then you also don't want to just write length for length's sake. Even though SEOs, you know, people are telling you how to rank in search engines, they're going to say, oh yeah, you should have really long content. That's true, but it's the real issue and the real way that search engines works. Throw out all the technical stuff you've ever heard about SEO. Search engines rank sites based on their ability to serve and help the customer. So, you know, we do some SEO, we help SEO companies. It's something very, you know, integral to content, obviously. And the best way to rank a site is just to be the most useful authority on the topic. And that's the answer, not is it a 1500 word or a 400 word post? Because that's just, I don't know, that's just like the mechanics of getting there. And sometimes, like, taking it out of the medium that you're talking about and putting it in another one makes it easier to understand. So the other day my tail light went on my girlfriend's car, and I'm like, I don't want to, like, screw around just trying to fix it myself. I looked it up on YouTube and I watched like a 15 second or 30 second video, cause it's so easy to fix. And I fixed the tail light. Videos technically should be longer than that to rank better. But that's not what I needed. I didn't need the guy to, like, ad nauseum explain how the light bulb was made. I just wanted to know where to put it in, so I didn't, like, snap off part of the plastic that I wasn't supposed to. Mm-hmm. So that's always how we should focus on content, is solve the problem in the most concise, useful way that you can as your primary goal. And then if you do want to get into, like, technical SEO things, then maybe you add on to that post. Like, if you do want to also serve the technicalities of SEO, maybe add on to that post and say, you know, so this is how you solve problem X. but also I wanted to list for you, like, here's my five favorite resources that are similar to this or around this, or, you know, I learned this technique from Jonathan, and, you know, he has, you know, the Blind Entrepreneur, and you could check out his, like, you can bring in other content to support it, but make your primary focus be, am I solving the problem? I don't need to be wordy in doing that. I'm just going to say, if you're trying to get out of the room, the door's over there. Mm-hmm. I don't have to tell you about the door, you know? So hopefully that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense. Yeah, absolutely. And it brings a real life example, which I do appreciate. So thank you for that. One of the hardest things to do in business is to achieve your first 100 customers. In as much detail as you can, because this is such an important thing to think about and to do, what are some ways that you were able to accomplish that, or ways that you are accomplishing it now, depending upon, I don't know how many customers you have, but wherever you are in business, how were you able to do it?
Yeah. So my first 100 customers in Copywriter Today came from two main sources. The first one is LinkedIn. LinkedIn is probably the most untapped B2B lead source for businesses that have B2B services like we do. And I'm running a campaign right now on LinkedIn where I'm reaching out to 200 people a day, and I'm just saying, hey, you know, right now we're running this free article special where you can get a free article. We'll write a sample for you. You'll get to understand exactly how our process works. You don't have to pay us a dollar, and you can see how it works. And then if we both feel like it's a good fit, we'll put you in the right package. That type of approach, that's very low risk for, you know, the prospect that starts building the relationship, is what's going to give you money in the long run. And I remember reading something from Neil Patel when he bought Streak.com. This is years ago. He's like, we tested like paid options, we tested free offers, we tested all this different marketing. And he said, hands down, free always beats everything else. You have a sales challenge, and you have like a marketing challenge to move people from free to paid. But what people forget is that when you're asking somebody to sign up with you in a service they've never heard of before, they've never worked with you, they're not risking, the money risk is very low. If you're saying like, hey, sign up for this $10 trial or this $500 trial or whatever it is, the money risk is not the issue. The issue is that you're asking to risk money, time, and their reputation, because they have to go back to the rest of their team and say like, oh, I chose this service and it sucked. That's what they subconsciously are thinking. Their fear of failure in front of their team is the real barrier. So that's why I like to try to pull away all the barriers I can, because if I come to you and say, hey, do you want to just try this out for free? If you like it, great. If not, that's cool too. I have a new friend and we can do business now or in the future. I've eliminated the money risk. I've eliminated the you looking stupid to your friends or business partners or whoever risk, because there's no consequence. You can laugh it off and say, oh, I tried it for free. It was kind of a dumb idea. I won't do that again. Like, it's not going to – the money in a trial period – is what makes the embarrassment of you failing and choosing your vendor worse. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, and I'm kind of going a long way around, that when I reached out initially for Copywriter Today, I kicked it off on LinkedIn, and I didn't even ask people to do business with me. I just said, hey, you know, Jonathan, I know we're connected on LinkedIn. I would love to have you share your feedback on this new idea I have, because we're hoping that it's going to be useful for business owners. And I just love 5 minutes of your time to get your feedback. And when I did that, people were like, oh yeah, you know, I'd love to help you. So people are always willing to help. If you kind of view the world as a wonderful, positive place like I do, then you'll find a bunch of people want to help you. So that was how I initially started. And then we moved to doing we had a completely free trial back then. We moved a little bit away from that when we started having like affiliate partners and other people promoting us, but we're actually coming kind of full circle back to it because it's worked so well. Like, we're just rolling back to giving that free article so people can see how the process works. And so the point of that is there are some businesses where you just can't do things for free. I mean, I realize that there are some barriers. At least people think that. But in reality, I could spend $50 to $150 to $250 to acquire a customer in ad spend and all the other things you could do, or I can just pay that money to my team in labor to do a free article and start the relationship off better in my experience and my and that's my marketing cost. So when you can give something of value away for free, you're starting the relationship with goodwill. And I think that's the easiest way to get your first 100 customers. Yeah. And LinkedIn is a great source for that. Craigslist, I've built, you know, I've used crawling tools that send me updates, you know, when people want help on Craigslist. I've done tons of cold email. I mean, I'm kind of, my mindset is always, I can probably I can be noisier than everybody else. Our goal this year, or our goal for the first of the year is for us to make like at least 5,000 new contacts per day for between me and the rest of the sales team. Because if we do that many per day, we will be successful. It's like, you just can't miss when you amp up your volume that much. So that's, I don't know if you want me to get more specific, but that's kind of how I got the first 100 customers and still a lot of what we do today.
Yeah, no, that's huge. Now I'm curious, what do you feel as if that this was a relatively quick thing that happened, or did it take like a while to see that traction? Like, was it instant or?
It wasn't instant. I mean, I went to like people on LinkedIn and then existing customers, and that's how I got my first like 5 or 6 customers in about 30 days.
Nice.
And for me, that's really all I care about in the first month is I just want validation that somebody, yeah. And we were priced way too low. We were a third of what we cost now. I don't know if I made money or not. But I wasn't really thinking about that. I was excited because I'm like, here, I have a reoccurring business model that beats everything else in the market. Everybody else is charging a huge amount for a sales letter or a ton per word or like $150 for one article. Like, everybody else is doing this wrong is what I felt like. So I'm like, I just want to see if my concept, my model works. And so I got customers at like $79 a month, which was a ridiculous price now that I look back at it. Because I was thinking about it as a software model, like a software as a service model. But what we actually offer is service as a service. Yeah. So we're the other SaaS.
Yeah.
But so knowing that, it was no big deal because like I got 90 days into it and I'm like, this is way too cheap. So I bumped my prices like $30. I kept getting customers. And then I bumped my prices like another like $50 about, you know, 8 months later. And then I think it was February of this year, we doubled prices. and we still kept getting customers. So I just kept pushing the envelope. And we're at a point now where I'm really happy with the profitability. And like, my goal isn't to gouge people. I mean, I just want a sustainable business. So totally. I don't think we're going to double prices again. But, you know, we'll be rolling into the product will be 4 years old in April, which is crazy. But I've kind of got to the top of the pain point, I think, and that's what you need to do from a pricing standpoint. Mm-hmm. Get into the market, just try it out, get validation of $1, you know, $20, $50, whatever the number is, then keep pushing the price up until you hit a little bit of a pain point, and then you know you're at the top. And also make sure that it's profitable and works, because there's no point in having a business if you're losing money and you can't pay your people well, and, you know, all that has to work too.
Yeah, without a doubt. So. I mean, kudos to you, man. 4 years. I mean, that is some really cool stuff. And you're legit, as you said, solving a problem, and that's what you need. So again, my hat's off to you. I'm curious to hear if there's anyone in the world that you would like to meet in order to further your business. Who would it be and why?
Somebody that I'd like to sit down with and like have coffee with would be Marcus Lemonis, because I think he is one of the kindest, most intelligent, most successful people I've ever, you know, ever seen. I watch his show and I had the opportunity to hear him speak a couple years ago at Funnel Hacking Live. And he is just somebody that I want to be like. And, you know, he's the kind of person that I want to be. And that's why I would want to meet him if I had to choose one. Like, there's a lot of other people I could put on the list, but he's probably the one. If I had to choose one, I would choose him.
Oh yeah, and he seems like a cool dude. Like, you want to grab Lake Erie IPA, Monster IPA, whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
He would totally sit down. He's the most normal dude.
Yeah,
he wears it. he Ubered over to the conference. I saw him. He's like, he could fly in his own jet, you know, into the parking lot. And like, he's just the most down to earth, nice guy. And my respect like really grew for him when I saw him speak, because he sat down with one of the audience members and helped them solve a problem. Mm. And it was just like, he's the most humble person I've ever met. And still, could he totally call you on whatever you're doing wrong? He'll be like, you know, you're screwing up. You can't do that. Like, he has no fear of just confronting things. So like, he really has achieved a balance of kindness, which I think is one of the most important things that we could teach and model in life, is being kind. And being kind is confronting people. And he did that in such an amazing way that day that my respect for him grew from even more. Because his show, I think, is completely real and legit. And like, mm-hmm. obviously it's TV, so they're going to show some dramatic things on purpose. But it was really cool to see him be even more, you know, like that in person.
Yeah, no, that's neat. I'm curious to hear if a lot of successful entrepreneurs, they have some particular habit that makes them who they are, that makes them efficient. So what are some habits that help you get through your day?
I super struggle with being disciplined or like having good habits is the way I view it. But if I'm objective, I think one of the things that I would say is like, last night is not unusual. Like I thought it, like I usually get up pretty early. I have at times like had a habit of getting up at like 3:30 or 4 in the morning. Because when I start work, then it's super quiet. There's no interruption. I can just cruise through things. And by the time everybody's starting their day at 8 o'clock, like I've completed everything that was important to me. So I think blocking out complete, you know, solitude and silence and like time out by myself is probably the habit that's helped me the most. I kind of accidentally fell into it in my 20s. I would work until like 3 or 4 in the morning and then sleep for like 3 or 4 hours and then start again. Like for almost 10 years, I slept like 4 hours a night, which was probably kill me early in my, you know, later in life. I can't recommend that. But the time was valuable because I could work, I could put 20 hours in a day when everybody else was probably working 6, to be honest. So I tripled my, you know, my acceleration of my learning curve. And so in my 20s, I would stay up late. In my 30s, I've shifted a lot more to getting up super early because it's, you know, I like going to bed early. I feel like I rest better and everything then. But with both of those, I try to really pay attention when there's something like burning in my mind or I'm really excited about it. That's the time to act on it. So last night, you know, I thought I was going to go to bed at like 9 o'clock. Like when I like to go to bed like around 9 or 10 so I can get up early. Like I'm laying in bed and I'm like, I really need to finish this project. I'm like super excited about it. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to get up and work for a couple hours. I'm going to work till I'm tired. And I have no issue running longer, working harder. I could work for the next 6 months straight, you know, and sleep 2 hours a day. And I'm okay with that because I know what it takes to be successful. And so for me, my stamina is, I think, probably the biggest thing that I've learned from. You know, my grandfather was a huge role model for me and he could outwork me, you know, over and over. And I, like seeing a real work ethic has made a huge difference in me being able to kind of work my way through my shortcomings. So I don't think early on in my, you know, entrepreneurial career, I don't think I was the smartest guy out there for sure. I was probably the dumbest guy out there, to be honest. Sure. But I'm like, if I work 3 times longer than everybody else, I'll kick their ass.
Absolutely. I respect that, man. That's some good stuff. I mean, it just sounds like you're just a workhorse or like a machine. And good for you, man. Congratulations on that. You mentioned your grandfather. Mm-hmm. You said that he could outwork you. What did he teach you?
So he like pretty much raised me from like when I was like nine years old to like 15 or 16, and he owned a big construction company and he had like 50 or 60, you know, different guys working for him. And the best thing that I learned from him was sales. Mm. And I'm more like intentional about thinking about what it takes to sell, because I teach it to my team and like I have a sales course that I have for people, and like it's something that I've broken down a lot to each incremental step. But until literally like 5 years ago, I can just sell. And I didn't think about everything that was kind of like just embedded in me from watching him. He literally walked up to somebody one time and they wanted to do like a driveway and like this retaining wall and some stuff outside. And, there you are. So one time I went to this job with him that he was quoting, and this lady wanted to do a retaining wall and driveway and like all this work. And he's like, well, why don't you just hand me your checkbook and I'll fill it out for you. That's how much it'll cost. And she handed him his checkbook.
Really?
And he was joking, but that's like the kind of relationships that he could have with people. And like, that's like the crazy stuff that he pull off. And to me, I thought that was normal. Like, I mean, I was a kid, so it's like, that's like just one example of him just being like, oh yeah, we can do that. He's like, I'll just tell you what it is. So he was great at estimating things, which has been a huge strength. I mean, you could throw probably any project my way in any sphere and I could give you a good ballpark of exactly what it's going to cost. And that's what he taught me. And that's not my skill. It's just like watching that over and over and over, hundreds and hundreds of times, watching him close deals and work with people and communicate was fascinating, because he barely had like a third grade education.
Yeah,
I mean, but his, you know, his people skills were phenomenal. So he's one of my biggest influences, and just somebody that, you know, he's been gone for years now, but just somebody that I just look up to.
That's awesome, man. Well, thank you for sharing that personal story. Yeah. I have one more final question for you. And yeah. The Blind Entrepreneur, this podcast, was created for individuals who may be temporarily blind in business. They cannot see the obvious. That's why we're listening to your words, so we can understand what we could do for our business. So
yeah.
To those individuals who may be stuck, what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
First thing is that when you're getting that knot in your stomach, or you're getting a headache because you're so stressed out, or you're like completely overwhelmed, the number one thing you should do is take action on something. Stop thinking about all of it. Just go do it. If you're afraid to make the cold call, make the presentation, launch whatever you were doing, you know, change careers, leave a bad relationship, whatever it is, act on it and go do it. You're going to feel better over time if you just get better at acting. All the time I get anxiety and nervousness and like I'm worried about things. That's completely normal as an entrepreneur. So just accept that that's okay. And the easiest way to make it go away is to act. So take action on something. You'll get out of your own way. Don't stay in your own head. Number two, something that I've studied off and on over the years and I'm starting to understand more. And I actually had a great friend and a guy that was on my show the other day, Chris Sparks, who runs a site called The Force Factor, I think, .com. I'll make sure I get it to you guys. I had him on the show. I've read about another guy named Billy Murphy, who runs a site called Forever Jobless. And then I have a good friend who's played poker professionally for years and years and made it through Black Friday, which all poker players, online poker players, know what that is. But I'm like, what's the pattern with these guys that they're very successful in poker and in other things? Like they can just pivot and be super successful. And what poker players understand and what I think entrepreneurs need to focus on more and I'm learning more of is expected value. And so being able to assess all your opportunities in front of you and figure out what your best upside is something that you should learn a lot more about. And I can share more resources on that. So thinking of like being really objective about your decisions and having a decision-making framework and, you know, the expected value decision-making framework is really helpful, but any type of framework that helps you decide things, even down to like, just write yourself a simple prioritization theory or model that you use. So I never know how many things are on my to-do list because I keep a bunch of stuff in Asana and there's just like tons of crazy things in there. And like, I have no idea how many, there's hundreds in there. But for me, when I'm thinking, okay, I have this time that I can be productive, I'm building a model there where it's like, what's closest to the money? What's going to have the biggest impact? What's going to make me the happiest? Because when I'm happy and motivated and inspired, then I'm going to do better and serve everybody else better. So the simple answer to number two is have a decision-making framework that you use so that you get out of your own way and your objective. And third, I would say, the best way to be extremely rich and successful is to stop looking at yourself and just start looking outward and figure out who you can serve and help. If you do that, you'll be happier. Money will never be a problem. If you really focus on that for the long term, then you're going to be fine. Karma is very real. And And if you want to be a billionaire, just serve a billion people. I don't remember who said that, but that's like the easiest advice. So
I think it was Gandhi that said that. No, I just made that up.
Yeah, some great entrepreneur said that. I just can't remember.
So. Well, man, I mean, a lot of wisdom coming your way, and just the words that you're saying, the way that you're phrasing things, is spoken like a true entrepreneur. So I couldn't be more appreciative of your time. You know, Gabe, you successfully completed the podcast. So congratulations to you, sir.
Thank you.
So without further ado, the next 30 seconds is completely yours. Go ahead and tell everybody about how they can learn more about you, how they could be a part of your journey, and potentially become a customer of yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, too. This has been awesome. Easiest way to get a hold of me is just go to copywritertoday.net, and there you can use the contact form or chat with one of my team members there. And if you just want to have a phone call, you know, just ask, they can book that for you there. That's the easiest way to find me. Everything about what we offer is there. And we are, like I mentioned, we are running a, you know, free article, you know, offer right now. I'd love to write a piece of content for anybody in your audience so they can just kind of see how the process works. Even if, you know, right now they don't need the service, but they need the service in a couple of years or something down the road, either way, we're happy to help anybody out with that. So that's the easiest way to find me, just copywritertoday.net. On social media, I'm on Facebook, you know, .com/Gabe Arnold. And, you know, if you just search Gabe Arnold, I'm pretty easy to find.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, great stuff all around. To those of you who are still watching and listening, thank you guys for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, and everything that you've heard today, including all of the ways to contact Gabe, will be in the show notes. Don't forget to head over to theblindentrepreneur.com for more interviews. Being blind in business is temporary, and I hope after listening to the wisdom of Gabe today, you are now able to see more clearly. Go out there and execute your vision. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.